Well, Dave called about an hour ago. Said I wasn't finished with the message. If you say so, you're the pastor. How many of you were not here Wednesday night? Can I see your hand? No condemnation. I just need to... Okay, I'm going to quickly review some things from Wednesday night. But you need to hear that message. I'm going to briefly skim those things, but I know what he wants to talk about this morning. So go ahead and open your Bible up to three places. We will get to all three. 1 Corinthians 14, Isaiah 28, and Hebrews chapter 5. I'm starting 1 Corinthians. And by the way, that message from Wednesday night, reasonably sure they probably have the tapes ready by now. You can get one after the service. Also, it is already available at my website in MP3 format. It's also available at ICTUS, www.iktus.net. So we're doing our best to make it available in every way and most convenient ways possible. But I'd sure get that one because the Lord's been showing me this next year is going to be a year of strong meat. Again, I'll remind you of a little vision that I had of the... near the end of the year, I always turn my ear towards the throne in the sense of, Lord, is there anything... I mean, I'm not a prophet or anything, but, you know, if you spend a lot of time in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, you're going to hear a few things from the Lord, you know. You don't have to be a prophet. And I had this little mini vision, just one of those sudden little visions that happened. And I saw in the prayer center, I knew it was a prayer center service similar to what we have here right now, but I kept hearing like a groan from this corner and a groan from over here and a little cry of agony from over here. And it was something along this line. Oh, is there any milk? Our jaws are so tired from chewing all of this meat. And I knew what the Lord was saying. We're going from a time of milk to meat. And that has to happen because, as we'll see here in Hebrews, and just my mind already wants to go to Hebrews and we haven't gone to 1 Corinthians yet. But when we get there, you'll see what the writer of Hebrews was talking about. He says, look, as long as you stay on milk, you're in danger of falling. Strong meat belongs to those that are of full age. You need to go on, taste the heavenly gift. Taste the powers of the age to come. You need strong meat. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost brings to remembrance. I remember Dave more than once this year saying, the Holy Spirit told him that there's a place where preachers quit falling. Well, there is. Not just preachers. There's a place where believers quit falling. But it's a place of strong meat, not milk. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews was talking about. And also, I began remembering the vision that Dave is... He's described that vision to me so many times. At this point, I don't know if I'm seeing it or if I'm just seeing my interpretation of what he saw. But the way I see it, when the revival hits, it's like an aerial view looking down on the prayer center from a helicopter or something. And you can see the ambulances and the vehicles lined up, not only out to the expressway, but in both directions are coming in. Because they're bringing their sick... And the lame and the halt and the blind. The way I see it, even these grass fields around here are full of cots and people lying on beds and stretchers. And it's not just Dave, it's many ministers, many of us, many walking out through there, laying hands and commanding in the name of Jesus. And they're all healed. Boy, is that not what we're contending for? What's funny this time is I was, again, rolling that vision over in my spirit. I don't know whether he was showing it to me fresh or if I was just meditating on Dave's. But as I was seeing that, I heard these words, and I thought it was interesting that he coupled it up with that vision. He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going, well, that's one of the most elementary things we all learned in Faith 101, you know. But then I understood why he was saying that in conjunction with that vision. I mean, that vision is what we're contending for. That is the revival, boy. And then he said it like this. He says, when you're in the full-blown revival and all those manifestations are taking place, you won't have any different New Testament than the one you have right now. There is no new truth. The Word is not going to change. Your revelation of the Word is going to change. And then you must change to conform to it. That sounds like going from milk to meat to me. Well, so he began leading me to this in kind of an unusual way here. So let's start in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. I'm going to have to speed this up. Now we're going to go quickly. All of this is available on Wednesday night's tape because he wants to go a little bit farther tonight. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. The reason I'm reading this, 1 Corinthians 14 is where we have the most information in all of the New Testament about other tongues. Paul all through here is verse 2, talking about he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. In the Spirit, he's praying those mysteries, all of those things that we want to know. Everything Christ is in us, to us, and through us. Verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. This is the chapter where we have most of the information, the most of it, in the New Testament. And he quotes from the Old Testament in verse 21. Verse 21, he says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Written in the law, written where? Well, let's go look at it. It's Isaiah 28, starting in verse 9. Now, if we're going to go from milk to meat, the Lord's going to have to teach us some things, isn't he? We're going to have to quit serving us milk and we start serving meat. All right, now look, whom shall he teach knowledge, he being God? How many of you want God to teach you knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? You know, the Lord told Dave we're called to a revival of doctrine. How many are candidates for God himself to teach you doctrine? I'm a candidate for that. Well, here's what's required. Who is it that he teaches? Look, those that are weaned from the milk. Weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. Now, quickly, I'm skipping over a lot. Milk. What is milk? Doesn't make any difference whether it's human milk, cow milk, sheep milk, wolf milk. Doesn't matter. In every case, milk is food that has been pre-digested by somebody else. Somebody else ate. The cow ate the grass. Cow, again, I can't resist it. Cow has multiple stomachs, you know, and it's a perfect example of meditation. It eats that grass and it chews on it for a while, puts it in one stomach. A little later, it brings it up, chews it some more, puts it in another. Back and forth, preparing, digesting that food until it becomes suitable to serve to babies. Is that not precisely what our pastor has done all of these years? Meditation of the Word, you know. But see, we're coming into a time when we can't just come and rely strictly on milk that's been food that's been pre-digested by Dave. Each of us, we need the Lord to teach us. We need Him to teach each of us knowledge and doctrine. We're going to have to start doing some of our own assimilation. Now, again, all of this is on Wednesday night, okay? Now, why verse 11 now? We read verse 9. Let's go to verse 10. Once he weans you from the milk, draws you away from the breast, and he begins teaching you, notice how he does it. Not in great giant chunks. Precept must be upon precept. And notice how he repeats this. I mean, that would be enough just to say precept upon precept. No, he says it twice. Boy, anytime you find that in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit repeats himself like that, I mean, he's saying something strong. He says, now you better listen to me and listen to me straight. I'm the best teacher there is. You're going to sit in that chair, and I'm going to teach you precept by precept. Are you listening? Precept by precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. It doesn't come in great giant chunks. It comes in boring little pieces. 2 times 2 = 4. 3 times 3 = 9. I mean, that is boring. That is boring. You know, can't you just teach me how to do thermodynamics? Not until you learn your multiplication tables. Okay, going on. But now notice, all of a sudden, now here's the prophecy that Paul quotes. To a people who cannot be baptized in the Holy Ghost. There was no tongues in the Old Testament. Yet Paul is quoting this in the chapter where he's teaching the most information we have in all the Bible about tongues. This is a prophecy. Now, it also had an application for them. That's on Wednesday night's tape. Just get the tape. But the prophecy speaking of us, for with four. He says, I'm going to teach you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, four. Four, meaning conjunction. I'm still talking about the same thing. How's he going to do it? With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. I'm glad I go to this church. I'm glad. There she is. Glory to God. No wonder Dave has been all these years trying to get us to sit there, be a good little student, learn your multiplication tables, learn the line upon line, precept upon precept. Let him teach you doctrine. Let him teach you understanding. All right, we can't camp there. We've got somewhere else to go. Now, going over to Hebrews. A lot more information there on the Wednesday night tape. All right, now, the writer of Hebrews was addressing these Jewish converts to Christianity. All these people grew up under the law. They trusted in their keeping of the law and the sacrifices to save them because that's what they were taught, the law of Moses. Well, then somebody comes along and teaches them the gospel, preaches the gospel to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how the law has been fulfilled, how Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God. He is slain. In him, the law was fulfilled and done away. And if you trust in him, you can be not only forgiven, but you can be born again. So they heard the gospel and they put away the trusting in the law to save them. And now they're trusting in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, great pressure come upon them from not only their parents, but from the Jewish rabbis and all of there was great persecution against them. What I've read in history, they couldn't even enroll in university. If they were a Christian, they were shunned in the marketplace. It was difficult. Life was not easy for them. So there was all kinds of pressure trying to get them to reject this. Who is this Jesus? You need to return to the God of our fathers and go back to the law of Moses. So great pressure was upon them. But more than anything else, this letter to them, the writer of this letter to them, is encouraging them not to go back. Not to reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and go back to that. But see, as long as they're on milk, they're in danger of falling. Not only back to that, but back to lapses of the flesh too. He talks about both in this passage. Okay? All right, now watch this. So Hebrews chapter 5. And I started last time in 12 and he made me back up to 10. Okay, let's start in 12. Let's do it exactly that same sequence again. Look at verse 12, chapter 5. For when for the time, in other words, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Now stop for a minute. He is not saying that every person in the body of Christ is called to have the office, the fivefold office of a teacher. That's just one office. Some are apostles, some prophets, and so forth. What he is saying is by this time, you ought to be to the place where you can at least teach those in your circle. The people you work with, your own family, your friends, your neighbors. You ought to be able to teach these things. But he says, rather than that, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first, the very elementary principles of the oracles of God. You become such as need to have need of milk and not of strong meat. Last Wednesday night, I read that and the Holy Spirit made me back up then. So let's back up. It's a good place. What made them be like that? How did they get to be a people? I mean, by this time, they ought to be teachers, but they become those that need to be taught again. They're on milk when they should be on meat. What caused that to happen? The answer is in verse 10 and 11. He's talking about Christ, called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and they're hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Boy, now that's the big danger at the prayer center. I mean, it's one thing to come and sit in a chair and have Dave just serve you up big old long drink of milk. Cold and refreshing, you know. Every now and then, he mingles in enough humor that even the meat sometimes you don't recognize for 4 days that you had some. You know, I've left services and about Tuesday, it dawns on me, hey, I laughed all the way through Sunday service. And about Tuesday I went, hey, he was getting on me. He has a gift for that. I wish I had it, but that's a gift of his. Thank you. I've never seen such a gift as that. But Tim says, God told him, I love the way God told Tim. He says, that humor of Dave's is a gift of God, and it's the enzymes. It's the enzymes that helps us digest the strong meat. Okay? But see, you can sit and listen to strong meat, especially if it's served that way, and guess what? You can still become dull of hearing. You know why? It's real easy. Just don't do what he taught. And after 5 years, I won't ask for a show of hands. 5 years, 10 years. Sue and I've been here 14 years now. You know, you become dull of hearing. Is he going to tell the story about lying again? I've heard about that, telling Rosalie, sitting at the Burger King, walking across the bridge. I can tell that story as well as Dave can tell it. Yeah, but have you quit lying? See, that's the difference. That's how you stay on the milk. You get dull of hearing. I've heard that before. I didn't act on it last time. I'm not going to act on it this time either. I hope he tells something else. I've already heard this story. You become dull of hearing. That's why you remain in a position where you just need milk again. Because you never have let the milk become part of you. You're sure not ready for the meat. A lot more on Wednesday night. Can't stay there either. All right. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk, boy, now get this, is unskillful. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Well, we're going to come back to that here in a minute. Unskillful. Let me read that verse to you out of the Amplified. Everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness. What does that mean? Ultimately, the righteousness of God, conformity to the divine will, in purpose, in thought, and in action. How many messages have you heard from 2 Corinthians 3:18? As we behold the glory of the Lord, as in a glass, as in a mirror, we are changed into that same image, even as by the glory of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, okay, we could go back to Romans 8:28, I believe it is, where God's original purpose is that we be conformed to the image of His Son. He's message after message has been delivered to us about how that our gospel is more than just forgiveness and God leaving us like we are. That's Old Testament salvation, where you're still you're forgiven. You're still just an old sinner. The only difference is you're a forgiven sinner. That's Old Testament salvation. See, And a lot of us were taught that for years and years when we were little, and it's really hard to break out of those strongholds. But we are not that. That is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the best definition of that Greek word is a new species that never existed before. I could go preaching right there, see? But what he's talking about here, when he says unskillful in the word of righteousness, we've not yet let the word conform us to that image where we are conformed with Christ in purpose, where our whole life is about the kingdom of God, in thought, and in especially now in deed, in our actions. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, Hebrews 5. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat. How many of you are we not ready to go on to some meat? Agree with me right now, whether you will or not. You know, I mean, makes me feel better. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. This next part is real easy to read, and it'll be your life to accomplish. Even those who by reason of use, we could say it this way, who become doers by reason of use, you put it into action in your life, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, that's really the war. If I remember Dave's story right, and I do, the Holy Spirit had been dealing with him for a long time. I'm going back to those lying tapes now. If you haven't heard it, I think it's called His Truth, Our Foundation. At the prayer center, we just call them the lying tapes. Dave wasn't actively lying to Rosalie, but he had let her believe some lies for maybe a decade or two. And, well, is that my telling the truth? That's on the tapes. That's not revelation knowledge, you know. I mean, if he did this when they first got married and just let her believe some things and he didn't correct it till here at the Burger King, they started in Oregon. So we know it's a while. Anyway. Well, you know, and so Rosalie, innocently, as these other women would get together and talk about what horrible sinners their husbands were before they got saved, and Rosalie just say, well, Dave never did that. Dave never did that. And he'd hear about it and just cringe on the inside. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's already dealing with him. He already has the milk. Am I telling that right? See, the milk is when you know better. The milk is when you know you need to correct that. You know you've got to do something about that. You already got the milk, but it's going to stay. You're going to stay on milk too. All he can do is keep coming back around and dealing with you on that same thing right there until you do something about it. That's when your senses become exercised. And it's not easy. You've entered into the real war now. This is the difference between sitting on the wilderness side of the river, looking over into the promised land. I'd sure like to have that land. God says, I've given it to you. I know you have. I know you have. I could live there, right? Yep. That's your land. I want you to live there. Boy, that's a land where there's no lying. Where my wife wouldn't be believing lies that I told her 20 years ago. Or however long ago it was. That's a good land. I'd like to live over there. God says, I've given it to you. Cross over to the other side. Lord, there'd be giants there. My ego lives there. My reputation lives there. What my wife thinks of me lives there. And everybody she tells this story to lives there. Lord, I think I'll just sit here another year and just look over into the promised land and admire it. See, because for you to really possess that land, you got to go to war against your own ego, your own reputation, what she may or may not, your friends, let's put it to you, what other people will think of you, And it's real war to cross over there. I'm going to pick on me in a little bit, not just Dave, okay? Dave's going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But it's a perfect example, see? That's the difference. But the day comes then, and boy, the Holy Spirit will deal with you too. And I know how he'll deal with it. He brought Dave to a place and said, look, you're not... Yes, sir. When I get this. See, we're all contending for revival. When that happened, you do know I love my pastor. When that happened, he's contending for revival. Now, how many times has he told you, Dave has told us this story? I rebuke you, devil. And the devil laughs. Because he sees you running around in a stronghold that he put you in. Now, at that moment, Dave was in a stronghold. A stronghold of these lies. And it's a little cage. But I'm contending for a revival. And it's okay for a season. But then God finds, line upon line, precept upon precept. God brings you to the place now, all right, if we're going to go on, if we're ever going to have this revival, you got to get past this place. You got to tear down those walls of that stronghold. You're going to have to cross over Jordan. You're going to have to possess this land. Boy, was that... Now, that's a whole different level of warfare. To have to take, took Rosalie to the finest... Told her she could order anything on the menu. Watched while the kids played in the cage or whatever. I don't know. But he starts telling her the truth. How hard is that? How hard is that now? This is how you go from milk to meat, though. This is when what's on the inside begins coming to the outside. See, Paul in the same chapter, I'm getting ahead of myself again. It's through things like this where you have to risk it all. See, war is life and death. War is not pleasant. If you're going to possess new ground, the enemy is going to fight you toe to toe. And if you're going to go from milk to meat, buddy, you're going to change. And it's not easy. It is not easy. I thank God that we have a pastor that loves us enough to be transparent enough to even tell those messages. Thank God. Thank God we can all relate to that, see. But we're coming into a time this next year. Some of this you go, well, this is milk. I've heard this before. No, it's going to be meat to you because finally, after all these years, you are going to act on it. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, some of these things are going to be real difficult. But you're going to act on it anyway because we are going to have this revival. We are going to have it. So you have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now let's come on down, verse 6 for a minute. Chapter 6, rather. You can just eliminate that chapter 6 because therefore means, based on everything I've been saying, therefore. And by the way, this is what freed me up to begin teaching this because I've always had this question before. Paul over in Corinthians says, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't. I have to give you milk because you're babies. So I've always had that same dilemma because I know we've got people in this room. I look around the room. I see people that's been here many years like Sue and I. I see others. I haven't even met you yet. I don't know if you know how long you've been around this message. You may have just found out about it. You may have got baptized in the Holy Ghost last week for all I know. So it's always kind of been a stumbling block for me. But the writer of Hebrews is in this same dilemma. And he says, you become such as those that need milk, but you keep falling at that level. You need meat. So what am I going to do? Well, in this case, he says, therefore, leaving the principles. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. And he starts listing a whole litany of things here. Does that not sound like a prophecy that we received here on September 11th, 2005? Don't continue to relay again and again and again that same foundation over and over. The foundation has been laid. The revelation is on the tapes. They're at websites. They're available in tape form. In every way, you can have them. You can catch up quickly if you really want to. Milk is available by the buckets. Let us go on. And this we will do if God permit. Then he starts talking about, see, really verse 4, where people take it as meaning, you know, like, they just take it exactly opposite of what he's really saying. He said, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and get this, and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now listen, what he's really talking about, if you leave this, how they mess up on this, they don't connect it up with chapter 5. See? They make it sound like that's the unpardonable sin. What he's really saying is the opposite of what they're saying. Look, he's saying as long as you stay on this milk, you're subject to falling. What you need is strong meat. You need to go on to what I'm describing here. Become a person who's tasted of the good word of God, partaken of the Holy Ghost. He said, once you, and actually tasted of the powers of the age to come. Listen, for those people to fall away, they would have to absolutely do, because they know without, I mean, they're in a position of knowing what's right. They would have to virtually put Jesus on the cross again. And say, I reject him. I know who he is. I've tasted of the powers of the age to come. I know all about this, and I choose to reject Jesus as my Savior. I'm going back to the law of Moses. Now, somebody like that, they've crucified him again, just like they did the first time around. You got that? Well, what he's saying is virtually impossible for that to happen. You can come to the place where you don't fall. I don't know hardly anybody who's ever done that. I reject Jesus as my Savior. I do know one lady. I know of one lady who was raised Southern Baptist. Good Baptist girl most of the days of her life, fell in love with a Muslim man. And he said, well, in order for us to get married, you have to publicly reject Jesus as the Son of God. Reject him as your Savior. And she chose to do that. Publicly. And chose Allah. That's exactly what this is talking about. Where you would reject Jesus and choose the law of Moses. That's exactly what this is talking about. Okay. Well, let's go on to a little meat. Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. Boy, now I'm skipping over tons and tons. How many of you was here Wednesday night? No, I'm telling the truth. I'm skipping over a lot of stuff that's really good. And so, I remind you, you ought to get the tape. I think the title of it is Going from Milk to Meat. The title of this one, and this, I've really just now finished my introduction, Closing the Door on the Devil. Really, once and for all, closing the door. How do you really close the door on the devil? Say, I thought the door was closed. Let's talk about that the next time you want a counseling session. I thought the door was closed. See, Ephesians chapter 6, this passage that we've looked at so often, where he says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now let's camp there and say that some different ways. Again, that's one of those dull of hearing verses because you've heard it so many times. Let's say it this way. The devil's trying to destroy you. He's got wiles. He's got strategies. He's got a plan to destroy you. He's looking for some kind of door. He's looking for some avenue where he can get in. And your only way you're going to stop him is if you got this armor on. And if you don't have it on, you're not going to stop him. How do you close the door on the devil? Well, he just got to put on. Now look at it again now, without being dull of hearing. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Meaning if you don't have it on, It's not likely you're going to be able to stand against it. Well, there's the milk level. Again, I'm going to do this quickly. In the early days of my hearing these things, they used to have us all stand up and go through the motions. I remember doing it at the convention center downtown at a big faith rally. Got 20,000 adults there, and we're all standing going through the motions of putting on the belt of truth. Literally fitting that breastplate of righteousness. You got it on? Yes. I got it strapped? Yes, sir. I got it strapped. You got it in place? Yes, sir. Taking the shield of faith. Hold up your shield. I remember Jerry Seville saying, I got my shield up, but the devil's fired so many darts in it, I can't hold it up any longer. It's too heavy. Stuff. It's good. It's milk level. It's okay. It was somewhere to begin. All right? Years later, after praying in the trucks for about 2.5 years, or 2 years, and then another half year praying out of the trucks, the Lord began having us do a Bible study, and I taught a pretty good series on the armor of God, which I thought is pretty good. And I look at it and I say, well, if it was meat, it's sort of the bologna sandwich level. I mean, it wasn't a ribeye. It wasn't a T-bone. I don't think it was milk, but it wasn't exactly ribeye either. Okay? And I taught it at the level that I understood it. And it's better than strapping on, going through the motions. It's better than that. But I got to tell you, it's only in the last... I'm not going to tell you how recently. Not real long ago. That what this verse really is talking about dawned on me. And I've sat here and listened to those... part of the reason I've become dull of hearing, I've heard Dave teach on that. Those lion tapes, I mean, he gave us the introduction to it how many times over. I wondered why he never went much beyond that. It was because we didn't do the first one. He says, well, for example here, he says, verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, let's talk about the loins girt about with truth. Dave says, you want to know how you... And there's a lot of bologna sandwich levels you could teach there, and they're all good. You need to have the truth coming out of your mouth. That's one way. That is an aspect of it. But really, that has more to do with the sword of the Spirit. You need to reject false doctrine and only believe God's truth. All of that's good. That's not what this is talking about. That's not what the whole book of Ephesians is talking about. If you want to find out what this is talking about, all you got to do is stay, just like the laws of meditation say, just back up in the same book, just a little ways, and you'll find it. Come back to, first chapter 4, verse 22. Man, I just keep wanting to back up. Let's look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now in chapter 6 he says put on the armor. Notice here he says that you put on the new man. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. See, Christ has already been, if you're born again, that new spirit has been created in you, within you, righteous and holy from the get-go. There is a new man on the inside of you, made in the image of Christ. He's saying, let what's on the inside come to the outside. Well, if I allowed that to happen, if I did that, what would happen? Well, he says, put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, if that happens, wherefore... Putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his wife. That's how it was impacting Dave at the time. I mean, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And the Lord was dealing with Dave. See, and contending. And I'm just picking on that because that's an example we've all heard so many times. But if we're going to go to revival, you do know you can't keep lying and go there. I got another, here's another little news flash. Once you're made accountable to this and you understand it, not acting on it leaves the door open for the devil in your life. I rebuke you, devil. Can you picture him looking down at you running around in a stronghold of lying? You're standing there in the stronghold rebuking the devil. He says, no, you rebuke me when you quit lying. That's in those tapes. His truth, our foundation. Going from milk to meat is when you... Yes, sir. Now, here's the big danger. Remember, we don't want to forsake the milk. We want to keep all of the milk. All that nourishment you've already received, don't reject it. Don't forget it. How many of you remember, you ever try to love somebody? In your own human strength, you're going to walk in love, are you? Now, I'm not going to retell that story. It takes too long. You've heard it too many times anyway. How Dave tells about that, how you know, the husband, he decides he's going to do that, brings his wife the breakfast on a plate with a rose and mooches on her every morning, you know, and everything's great for about a week. Then all of a sudden, you know, don't we have anything in this house besides pancakes and roses? And he says, well, look, I'm tired of serving this to you anyway. And the deal's on again. See, trying to quit lying is just trying to keep the law. Paul was already good at all this. He said, before he got saved, he says, according to the righteousness of the law, blameless, in his own lost human condition, he was pretty good at not lying. Not perfect. That's why every now and then you got to kill another sheep. But pretty good at it. In other words, in his own human effort, he had a zeal for God, and his zeal was to obey the law. And we're not talking about that. He says later, after in Philippians chapter 3 or 4, he says, all of that, all that I counted gain to me, all that zeal, all that trying, everything that I did trying to please God, I count it but dung for the knowledge of Christ. See, but later on, Galatians 2:20, he says, but I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer even I that live, but it's Christ in me. But it is me, but it's Christ in me. And the life that I now live, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. See, that we're not talking about human effort here. That's going back under the law. What we're really talking about is awake, awake to who you are. Awake to righteousness. Sin not. Let all these truths, all this milk that God's been serving us for years, it's time to awake. I'm not an old sinner, just saved by grace. I'm not still that same person. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just like Him who begat me does not lie, I do not lie. Then the next 5 minutes when you do, don't let that preach a different gospel to you. You hold to the truth. You run to the blood, get cleansed again. Awake to righteousness. It'll dawn on you. You become conformed to that image. When he says, put on the new man, you can't do that without having the new man on the inside of you. You've got to be born again. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, with all my best efforts, I could never really do it. I was trying with all of my strength before I was born again to keep God's law, and I just couldn't do it. I did the best I could. But now all my efforts, all of that life, everything that I poured into all of that, I counted but dung for the excellency of the knowledge, knowing Him, see. Christ is everything. Let that life that's really on the inside of each and every one of you, it's got to start coming to the outside. We've got to awake to righteousness. Now, once you begin awaking to it, now change does happen. And I'll tell you right now, it's not easy. Dave, you already know from hearing those tapes, it was not easy for Dave to do that with Rosalie. I'm going to use my example now. I used to walk for years and years attending the prayer center here. I smoked like a freight train. You got to understand, I know many Christians that have a Pentecostal or a holiness type background. They just can't relate with that. But now, I was raised in a country, southern denominational church. Good people, and the gospel was preached accurately. I've seen old hard drinking, womanizing men get saved in those churches, and I mean they become the pillars of the community and quit running around, quit drinking. Don't tell me they didn't get born again. They did get born again. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in those same churches, we'd have a smoke break in between Sunday school and church, and the pastor was out there with the men. All the deacons and the elders. I mean, I grew up seeing that my whole life. Both my parents smoked. Most of my dad did quit when he's 72. <You know? laughs> So I grew up my whole life. I mean, to me, it just wasn't an issue. And some people would go, you know, it's, you know, Pentecostal circles. Never was an issue with me. Well, just like the Lord began dealing with Dave about the lion, He began dealing with me about that. So He's going, you know, that's not as all right as you think it is. Especially not being addicted to anything. See, that's the thing. It's not only is it bad for you, the problem is bowing the knee to it, becoming addicted to it. So He starts dealing with me about it, and I'm gonna. Did I try and quit? Oh, you've got to be kidding! I tried to quit so many times. Like Dave talks about throwing away. I have been in lines. I've had every minister that you see on TV practically lay hands on me, stomp on my lighter, stomp on my everything. Of course, I was too holy to bring my cigarettes into the meeting. I left them out in the car. We'd stomp on the lighter and everything, you know. Had to buy another lighter on the way home. Because, I mean, and I'd read Romans 6. I mean, you've heard me talk about how I'd make confessions out of Romans 6. And I'd go, there it is, just plain as anything. See, they were going from milk to meat. Going from milk to meat. Let's look at Romans 6 for just a minute. Now, don't lose your place in Ephesians. We're going to come back here. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Puff, puff. At the ugly building now. I'm reading this, meditating this. I'm trying to understand this because I've loved God for a long time at this stage in my life. See, I wasn't just picking on Dave. I mean, I bet if we knew you better. Okay. What shall we say then, Gary? Shall we continue in sin? Puff, puff. That grace may abound? Whew, man. And I'm trying to understand this. I'm going, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? Puff, puff. You're dead to it, puff. I start getting worried about it. I'd puff some more. Oh, my God. I'm supposed to be dead to this. Okay, maybe jump down a little. It probably gets better later, so I jump down to verse 6, you know. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Maybe verse 7. He that is dead is freed from sin. Puff, puff. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. I'm going, I believe I live with Him. Come on down to... It just gets worse and worse the more you go down through here. Verse 16, this one just was a killer for me. I'm trying to understand because I got to tell you, I mean, I had this conversation... Okay, let me read this verse. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? Puff. Puff. Light up another one. Puff. His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, notice past tense, that you were, past tense. Where it says servants, that's really the word slave. The slave of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, by the way, I really was. But the form of doctrine I was obeying was the false doctrine that I saw growing up watching the elders in between Sunday school and the main service. That's the doctrine I was obeying. Because that's what I really believed. These were my, this was my dad and all the elders at the church. My heroes. It was okay for them, it was okay for me. That's false doctrine. But that's really what I was believing, because I had not yet really received the real doctrine, the doctrine of revival. Because that's in verse 18. Here's the real doctrine. And I'd sit here, I'd read this verse, say this verse. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I'd read that. God would say, this says plainly, I have been made free from this. I'm going to quit it. That's it. I'm going to quit it. Yeah, my body allowed that. My body would agree with me. I think we've had enough. See, it's always right after a big meal, I know I can fast. My body always agrees. Well, at that moment, after, you know, smoking for hours that day, my body says, sure, we'll quit this. It's not a problem. After about 30 minutes. Sue and I, when we first came to the prayer center, just so you'll know, we couldn't make it through a service without a smoke break. And we didn't want to, you know, we'd go out front and walk down the trail down here. I'm preaching to somebody. There's hope for you. Okay. Now, it could be other things besides cigarettes. But we were in that kind of bondage, you know. I know what that is. I look at this verse and say, God, I know this says I'm free. I quit. My body would agree. About 30 minutes later, my body says, I'm not so sure about our agreement. Maybe you ought to have a smoke and think this over. No, I quit. Okay, my body, okay, sure. About an hour later, my body says, look, I'm in total disagreement with you now. I think you were making a mistake. That can't mean what that says. You know, really, you're not free. I'm going to show you you're not free. Boy, then here it would come. And after about 2 hours, my body says, give me a cigarette. Give me a cigarette. I will make your life a miserable living hell all the days of your life. You give me one, you give me one right now. And I'm going, God, are you sure I'm free? And this is the conversation. I remember having this conversation. I'd walk out in the pasture there. I'd walk out. I said, God, I'd look at that verse right there, that one. I'd say, verse 18 says, plainly, God, it says I've been made free. I'm telling you, God, I have no evidence other than this. Every feeling in my body, everything in my mind, all my emotions, everything in my experience for, by the way, 42 years that I smoked, all of my experience tells me I'm not. I begin understanding what faith is. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The only evidence I have, God, that I'm free is this right here. It still took a long time. Finally, my day came, like Dave's day came, when the Holy Spirit says, you're not going to put this off anymore. I've told you about that before. You may not have known it was smoking, but anyway. That was in a meeting up in New York at a motel. And the Lord just drew back a curtain. He says, now you can continue walking where you're walking. You know you're doing a lot of... And he was using me. Hey, he had already used us. Now get your doctrine straight. He had already used us and used our hands to heal cancer before. Now he did it all. But he'd used us. Why? Because we believed he could. Okay? But he's going, now where I want you to go. I mean, so you can continue walking where you are. You know that, you know, you're doing good work for me. You're going to have a reward when you come to heaven. But if you don't deal with this, in the same way that there was an accountability day with Dave. You can't go on. If you're going to have the revival, you've got to deal with this. He's telling me, if you're going to accomplish what I've called you to, you're going to have to deal with this. If you don't, you come to heaven, you'll have a good reward. But when you get here, I'm going to have to draw back a curtain and show you all of the things that it was in my plan for you to do for the kingdom that you did not do for the kingdom. And then I'll wipe away every tear. You won't be in agony over that forever. But just know that's part of it. Man, that was a long night. I couldn't deal with that. And I don't want to go through all that again. We just got a few minutes here. Listen, that's the day that I crossed over Jordan. And the war really began. Now, my body did not give up at all. That same war that I had gone through time and time and time again and lost trying to quit, I got to tell you, it was worse 6 months later than it was the first week. All those people that tell you you're free in 21 days never were addicted. At least not like I was. It was worse 6 months later than it was the first week. It was virtually a year before I got any kind of relief. You ever been in a war for a year? What was it, though? Sooner or later, sometime or another, we got to go from milk to meat. I had to close the door on the devil. Now, this is the thing. Yes, sir. I had to close that door. I couldn't leave it open anymore. Go back to Ephesians now. Quickly. We wonder, how does the devil, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I'm born again, I come to church, I worship God. How does he still have access into my life at times? We don't have on the armor of God. When you're in an infant stage, there is a grace that covers you because you don't know. There is a grace. Apparently, we're coming to a maturity point, like Dave did with the lying, like I did with the smoking, and like you did with whatever it is he's dealing with you about, like you are. We're coming into a time of going on to into revival. It's an accountability level. Things he's been dealing with us about for years, we're going to have to put them in practice now. And it's not easy. Now, just quickly, on this armor of God, I don't know how much during this year, probably more will come forth out of this. Let's just so you'll know, though, quickly what it is. Well, how do you put on the loins of truth? You quit lying. That's really what it is. You quit lying. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? You awake to righteousness and sin not. Quit sinning. And we're talking about the kind when you're alone. Where you really, that righteousness that's really on the inside starts coming to the outside. And again, we're not talking about in human effort. There's a big difference. Now, the war feels like it's human effort, like the war I went through with my body. But it's not. It's the life of Christ. It's that dominion of the new nature taking dominion over the outer man. Okay? Doesn't mean the war is easy. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's when you quit worrying. That's when all those teachings, all that milk that Dave has served to us for years, and I don't mean it to be, it's milk when you first hear it. It's meat if you put it in practice. I don't know how else to say it. See, it's one thing to hear all those, peace, the aggressive weapon of God. There it is for you in milk form. But if you'll chew on that, it'll eventually become meat to you because you'll be a person who quits worrying. There is a life. I've mentioned this a few times. It's still true. I am the freest man I know of when it comes to finances. Yet, if you were in my shoes, you'd probably worry. I used to. But I've come to a level of peace there. It's not peace as the world gives. It's His peace. But you can come to a place of not worrying. Quickly. With a shield of faith. There's a lot to teach on that aspect of it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But it's really only the... See, faith without works is dead, being alone. Again, it's the same principle. It's only that part of the Word that you use, that you make active, that you do, that really quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. The helmet of salvation, that's the mind of Christ. When you start thinking like He thinks, especially in regards to your call, when you start getting His mind for your life, you have on the helmet of salvation. You don't think squirrely anymore. You don't, good Oklahoma term, squirrely. You know what squirrely means? Think like the world. We could go to Romans 12 too, but anyway. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that's the offensive weapon. That's the rhema. That's when you get God's Word coming out of your mouth. See, until we put on that armor and take that sword. Now when you're a baby, there's grace for you. But why write this letter? Why put that in there? If it doesn't mean what Paul says it means. If you have this on, you can stop all those strategies of the devil. I'm for putting it on. Hallelujah. We'll see you in 30 minutes.